Please find with me from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41, and that you'll find on page 1592. 1592, the scripture passage for the message at verse 41 of chapter 2. 1592. Familiar story. Let's see if we can find some fresh gift from God in it for us this morning here. It's entitled, as you see in your Bibles, The Boy Jesus at the Temple, 1592. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not know, did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Hold the Bibles open a minute. Sometimes translation gets a little too sweet. If you look at that text about this story, this is not a story without anxiety and troubles. I mean, if you've been a parent and lost a kid, you wouldn't wait a whole day to start looking for. I have four children. Oh, I got stories, but a different time for my stories. But you. And what's more, the translators do this kind of, I don't know why they do this exactly, but it says Mary treasured all these things in her heart, verse 51. Mary kept all these things in her heart in an urgent way. Not quite, isn't it all wonderful? In fact, an earlier verse says, your father, why did you treat me this way? They didn't understand him. See, so it wasn't all, oh, isn't this sweet? I treasure this. It wasn't a treasuring. No parents treasure such confusion with their kids. It's more about anxiety, isn't it? Or maybe you were the cause of some anxiety for your parents. How are you in church this morning? There's a lot of confusion around Jesus. In fact, we don't know much about the developmental times of Jesus. The Bible doesn't give us as much as we might have hoped about the life of Jesus, but what it does say is it makes him peculiar. So they couldn't find Jesus because Jesus was busy trying to find God. Jesus was attending to his own learning and his growing and his developing. And in the exchange with the learned men of the temple, he was teaching them as well. Understand this, in his life, Jesus was a learner, and he was where the action was. And it creates confusion, and certainly confusion confusing impressions for us. He was deeply human and deeply God. How do you put that together? I'm not certain, but let the text say what it says, which is that Jesus was busy looking for God. This is hard for us. Because Jesus wasn't an easy person to figure out at all. In his looking for Jesus, in his looking for God, he said things later on in his public ministry when he was older that would infuriate people if you took him literally. He says stuff like, how about this? Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10, verse 37. Now that may be attributed to some sort of style or figure of speech, some exaggeration to speak about the intensity of the kingdom of God. But in Luke, in this gospel, it comes even stronger. In chapter 14, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. See, Jesus comes with some confusion and some strong stuff. Now, that too may well be a Hebraic figure of speech, a way of speaking to get under your skin with deep stuff about how you ought to make the kingdom of God first and foremost. We can accept that, but it doesn't add to the ease of understanding Jesus. This Jesus who, well, let's face it, later on in chapter 4 of this gospel, the first public appearance he makes is to the synagogue, and his message is one of intensity, so much so that people want to throw him over a cliff. They take him outside. Remember that story? So, I mean, we're not in easy territory here in trying to figure out what this is about. In the finding of Jesus. Maybe if we look in ancient text, in Hebrew text, in Old Testament, we'll find some help here. And I think we will. Because finding Jesus and finding him well and understanding him well is not something we do with precision or ease. Because it's about God's salvific, God's redemptive powers in our lives. Ancient prophets already spoke about this, where God says, I will search for the lost, and I will bring back the strays. And then in Isaiah, text like this, I was found by those who did not seek me. Sure, the Matthew gospel says, seek and you shall find. But behind that, deeper than that, is ancient text that simply strengthens our understanding of how God causes himself to be found. So, no bragging about understanding Jesus so well or that you have an easy relationship with him isn't so. Not from the outset of understanding who this child is in the hands of Mary and Joseph, his earthly parents, or Jesus, the more adult one, who speaks about the primary and the priority place of kingdom to everything else being second or less. The joy is that the scriptures, the word of God tells us that our being with Christ, at the heart of that is God's giving that to you. This is hard. Why is that so hard? I think it's the nature of life, creation, the world, the universe. You know, you can't see the stars unless you sit in the dark. You can't know who Jesus is unless you have a deep search. It doesn't come to you glibly, right? And as you know, we had these books for our kids, and some of you know them, and some of your grandparents, or you read them to your grandkids, maybe. Anyway, remember that series of books called Finding Waldo? Smiles, yeah. You know, Waldo with the red hat and the striped thing. And then you have these large pages, and you have to stare and look for Waldo. Little Waldo in this crowd of people. Oh, it was awesome. It was an awesome thing. Our kids loved it. We loved it as parents, right? Finding Waldo. Why was Waldo so hard to find? Because he was among a lot of other pictures and people and folks that looked quite alike, or it was hard to distinguish Waldo. You had to really look hard finding Waldo. Why is Jesus so hard to find in the world? Jesus himself went looking for God, didn't he? To do that for the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, he himself had to do an odd thing, which was to disobey his parents, or certainly to dishonor them. He had to be in his father's house. He had to be in his father's house. He had to get himself away from the ordinary stuff of a 12-year-old and get into a dialogue with the learned religious leaders of his day. It's an odd thing. So it took a bit of effort on Jesus, too, to get with God. This is Black History Month, February. Right, Black History Month, are you aware of this? In North America especially, that needs always a high stress or high underscoring because of the history of slavery in North America, and South America too for that matter, 450 years of slavery was inflicted on tens of millions of black folk from Africa, shipped over. And I bring it up because in this connection is this. You have to ask why those millions of black Africans brought over in ships in horrible conditions and then living as slaves, why did those black slaves who were brought there by Christian people, Portuguese, Spanish, Dutch, English, French, and so on. They were brought over in their ships by people who knew the Apostles' Creed and who were Christian folk. Here's the question. Why did they take on the religion of their oppressor? Why did they believe in Jesus, the same one that was worshipped by their slave owners and their abusers? Why? Because they found Jesus to be like them. Homeless, poor, crushed, suffering, crucified, dead and buried, descended into hell. That's why they found Jesus. Now, we should say, well, that's just so strange. If you think of yourself being hauled into some crazy cult that beats the living life out of you completely, and then you go and worship their God. That's got to be some God. A little exercise with you, because we're doing that in our pastor's club. We're trying to do this in the pastor's club. Look at page 807. Get your hymnals out for a minute. 817. In the back of the Psalter hymnal, just for fun here, let's do this together for a minute. 817 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. 817 Belgic Confession. The Dutch slave traders knew this confession, by the way. 817. Are you with me on the Belgic Confession? Look at that article. Steve, stand up and read that loud for us, will you? That was a confession of our ancient forefathers and mothers in this tradition, but it was a confession that, you know, that is now shared by 100 million people in the world, one of the Reformed confessions. Why did the black suffering slaves turn to the religion of their oppressor? Not because of a creed like this. This is a good creed. It's a good attempt at describing God, but it misses one deep thing, and that is that God is love. That's not in that text quite. It's good. It's incomprehensible. I get it. Wonderful confession. But the blacks learned to love Jesus because he loved them. That's the thing, see? God is love. And Jesus had a confusing history in the world, a difficult history, because God is love, and the Jesus that we serve is a God who isn't so easily found in a world that's about consumerism and possession and power and glamour and oppression and sexism and racism and bigotry and you name it. God isn't found there. And that's what you see so much of in our world today. So the reason why the black people, so long-suffering, 450 years, slavery was the economic backbone of the Western world. Some of the finest churches in the world were built by the monies earned by slave owners given to the church. The reason why the blacks went to Jesus is because they saw in him, they found him. They saw in him the love of God and the hope for their lives forever. And if you couple this with the texts that are so often in the scriptures, that it's always that God causes people to find them. It's most often a causal connection. The word is not "I found Jesus" or "No, God caused me to find him." That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That he causes himself to be found by you. You were here this morning, and if you've given your life to Jesus, however frail that may be, however tiny that may be, if you've done that, then you have been given God's Spirit, and he's caused you to love Jesus, to be loved by him. So what we're after this morning is that you also find Jesus in your life. And some questions we could help with that here. So what are you reading? What are you looking at? What are you spending so many hours of a day with? What's your prayer life like? How are you finding Jesus? How are you looking for him? Like, for me, music is a very powerful thing. And we had it again. This church always has this lovely music. Thank you to all who do this stuff. But you come to this church and the music enhances. But because I think music brings you to God in ways that words can't. So let music come into your life. Sing. Yeah? My mother used to say, if you sing, the devil stays away. But prayer life, you're talking to God? He's around you all the time. You don't have to have a special time of prayer away from your life, then pray to God. No, that would be good to do once in a blue moon, but Talk to him. He's always with you. He's near you all the time. You can't get a... How does the psalmist... If I go to the highest heavens, you are there. If I go to the deepest deeps, you are there. I can't get away from you, God. So pray. Talk to God. Have a conscientiousness about God being in your life. I love it that you come to this place. And the way people are fixing up this place, you obviously appreciate church. It's good to be together, isn't it? To believe in something that brings you out of your beds on a Sunday morning and gets you here because you want to meet Jesus. You want something better and deeper and bigger and greater than the stuff of life where you can't find Waldo and you can't find Jesus so much. That's the promise of the text this morning. And Mary, it says, well, she says, treasure the things in her heart. Well, now we can. We know who the Jesus is. But Mary thought about these things deeply. So, one philosopher said, let me find it here. Etienne Gilson, a philosopher, said, God is the pure act of being. That's way worse than the Belger Confession for me in some ways. It may help some philosophers to sort of figure out who God is. But I think it's much nicer to think of God as the one on whom you are on a journey with. You're on a journey. You are on a journey. And God is with you. Whether you like it or not, you are brought to God. We're on our way to God, all of us, in various ways. All humanity is on its way to God. And Paul invites us to be saved by Jesus, to be loved by Jesus. He says, for from him and through him and for him are all things, all people. All will be brought to God by Jesus or not at all. That's, you know. We are loved by a God who draws us into his own heart. And a God who became, this is so radical. A God who became like us to find us. A God who searches our hearts and says, a God who isn't in the great beyond, the holy other one, some have defined him to be, or just a pure act of being, it may work in some circles, but the God who became flesh to come looking for us. We got great stories about that. Remember the 99 sheep that were safe in the fold, the one who wasn't, and God, the shepherd goes out. That's a great story. There's so many great stories. The prodigal son, you name this gospel. Begin, you know, gives confusing pictures of Jesus, to be sure. Jesus himself, as a human, on the human side, must have been puzzled at times. Is this what it's like to be the Messiah? A learning curve for him, too. My God, why have you forsaken me? So that he could find you and me and rescue, not just rescue, to offer us a new world, a new life, a new hope. And so this morning we're invited to find Jesus. And don't give yourself so much pressure. He will cause you to find him. So do the things that stay, keep you close to him. Your script, your Bible, what kind of Bible reading are you doing? What kind of music are you listening to? Who you're talking to and how you're talking to them? And where are you gathering? And what are you spending your hours of the day on? You answer some of those questions, and your search for Jesus will be determined by some of that. But thanks be to God, we are given the Christ. Fear not, little flocks, as the same gospel writer Luke in chapter 12. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to find Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God, help us to... that's not the prayer we're going to ask. We're not saying help us to find you. That's not what we're going to pray. You aren't lost. And Christ has come. Open our eyes, Lord, to see that Jesus is already among us. Help us, Lord, to be dedicated to that, to live with words and thoughts and actions that indicate that we have been found by you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for a world that has him in it, so that all is not hopeless. Thank you that for all those hundreds of years, those who were enslaved by seemingly righteous people found that actually their Jesus was the man for them. Oh God, hold us close to you and help us see again that you're looking for us. And in Christ Jesus, you will find us. And by the power of your Spirit, you will always be home with us. In Jesus' name, amen.